dictatorship that oppresses society. That's what the heart says. How does it say that? The greatest highlight of the Hajj is the observance on Mount Arafat, the sacrificing of the animals. These are among the greatest highlights of the Hajj. In the chapter called Al-Hajj, the Pilgrimage, sacrifice is highlighted there. Sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice is it? What is the killing of the animal? Allah says in the Quran, "Fadlah." Neither the meat or the blood of the animal reach God. What reaches Allah is your taqwa, your piety, your obedience. That's sincere in your life. It's that taqwa, that God consciousness, knowing that Allah is ever seeing you, and that you are always accountable to Him, and that you cannot escape His judgment. That's taqwa. Abraham, the prophet, peace and be upon him. Abraham showed the kind of sacrifice that Allah wants from His creatures that He has created. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son, who he loved. This great act of faith and obedience in the life of the great prophet Ibrahim. One says that he had his son and he was about to cut his throat as a sacrifice. And he drew the knife once and he missed, and he drew it again and he missed. Several times he missed. Why? Because it was such a hard, terrible thing for him to do. But he felt God wanted it, so he was trying to do it. And one version says that his son said, "Take the end of your turban and pull it across your eyes so you won't see me, and then strike with the knife." And he put the turban, the end of the turban, in front of his eyes. He agreed with his son, and when he went to strike with the knife, when he looked down, his son wasn't there. The sheep was there, the ram was there. Allah tells us in the Quran that the willingness on the part of Abraham to sacrifice his son was all that God asked. God does not ask that we kill our children, but He asks that we love Him more than we love our children, that we be more faithful to Him than to our children, that we put Him above our own children. So He doesn't want human sacrifice. He wants the sacrifice of your desires, your inclinations, your appetites. He wants you to sacrifice those appetites and things. Relegate them to Him. Put Him above all of your appetites, all of your sentiments. Put Him above all. Most of the good, true believers, they do that. I know, and I just didn't start doing that, even when I was under mixed-up teachings under all of Elijah Muhammad, I still believed in God. I wasn't seeing Him correctly like Christians and Jews. Many of them don't see Allah correctly, but many of them are very sincere. So I was sincere in my belief under the all of Elijah Muhammad. And God is my witness. I put Him before my own children, even under the all of Elijah Muhammad. I put God before my children, even when I was following the all of Elijah Muhammad. Now that faith has become much stronger since I've come into the true understanding. I could do it now with less trouble. You know, it would still be great trouble for me, but I could do it now with less trouble than I had before, because the knowledge is clearer. We have to do that. We have to be willing to do that. Now, when we sacrifice the animal during the pilgrimage, we sacrifice an animal that we ourselves paid for. It should be our animal. If you raise animals, it's good to bring your own animal that you raise. If you don't raise animals, then you have to buy an animal. The animal has to become yours. Really, the animal is yours all the time. But you just have to buy it because it's symbolic of something that's in you. You sacrifice the animal, your children, your family can be involved in that sacrifice. But the obligation falls more on you as an individual than on your children and the members of your family. You, as an individual, must make the sacrifice. What does that mean, dear brothers and sisters? That a man is more responsible for himself than for anybody else. The individual, male and female, is more responsible for themselves than they are for anybody else. First, get your own appetite in some kind of human form. Get your own aspirations and appetites in some kind of human form. Get the beast out of yourself. Kill the beast that's in yourself. Shed that aspiration. Shed the beast desire. Shed the blood of life that is of the beast in you. Get that out of you. You know, blood represents the life of the animal. And science tell you that when you are in a situation, fear or flight. What they say, fear, flight, fight or flight. Fight or flight. Where you have to fight or run. You got one or the other to do. You know you got to do one or the other. Science say in situations like that, the blood rush to the parts of the body that need it. And men must have understood that long before science told them that. They must have understood that force, energy and force, had a lot to do with blood. Oh, yes. But a person get angry if they're light-skinned, their face turn red. Most likely their face redden up. When they're ashamed, when they're made to be ashamed of themselves, their face redden up. Why? Because at that time, they're so conscious of the wrong that they've done and so embarrassed that really they would like to hide themselves. But they don't want to draw attention to their wrong, that much attention. You know, they would like to just run off and hide, you know, cover up somewhere. So by not doing that, by not yielding to the force to go and hide, then all that force is put into their blood. And if there's nowhere to go, it just goes everywhere. Shoots up in the face, it turns red. It wanted to go to the feet or to the hand. It run away and hide, you know. You did something wrong. Go hide. Get out of sight. But you stand there and just resist, you know, and you stand there and try to act like everything's okay. But the blood just come all in the face. So blood is symbolic of life force in the man. The life force in the man should yield to God. It should be given to obedience to God. For Allah is not asking for flesh and blood. Allah is asking for obedience, sincerity, honesty, obedience. This is very important to understand in the sacrificing, because many people say, oh, those people, they're heathen. They're savage. They slaughter all those animals for God. All right, let's understand now. The animal is only a symbol. It's symbolic of something we're doing internally, right? All right. How is the animal wasted? Let's see where the animal goes. Feed the poor. With the sacrifice, feed the poor. In the chapter called Pilgrimage of Hajj in the Quran, it tells us that the meat from that is slaughtered is to be shared with the poor, the hungry people, the poor. With those who ask and with those that are not too proud to ask. Some people won't ask, but you know they need. They're too proud to be begging or ask. We're to share with them. Why is this kind of sacrifice brought into this Eid al-Adha, into this Hajj? Into the Hajj. Why is it brought into the Hajj? Why must we celebrate this? Because the world needs this kind of attitude in the people of the world before we can have peace, before we can have justice. There'll be no peace and justice in the world as long as man is not given attention to his antisocial, dangerous appetite, blind appetite. When man began to want to dignify himself as a human being, when every individual division began to want to do that for Allah's sake, for God's sake, if not for their own comfort, and it should be for God's sake, because we don't have a force within us strong enough to discipline us for long. It works for a while, but it soon fails us. The only force that can discipline us forever is obedience to God. We all need this for a peaceful human world. And we need to understand the world gets better when we share with our fellow man. And there is sharing when there is check on our appetite. When the appetites are blind and just eating and grabbing with no sense, there is not the spirit of charity in the society. So you see how Allah has guided us to realize our greatest hope in life? He has shown us the way to realize our greatest hope in life. The United Nations can't get peace. They are working on charity, giving aid to less fortunate nations, protecting the rights of individuals and the rights of states or nations. But they are not working on cultivating in man the human nature and human appetite. They are not a dawah, they are not a masjid. The United Nations is no church, no synagogue, no masjid. The United Nations is a political body. It cannot accomplish these things for the world. Dear beloved Muslim, let us look at man's victory over the animal kingdom. We gained a victory over the animal kingdom. At one time, animals threatened man's life. Man had to lock himself up in holes and behind bars and up in trees and hide up in trees and etc. But God gave man victory over the animal kingdom, didn't he? And now man live in cities secure, not fearing a tiger or the lion or snakes, etc. He's still pretty secure, safe from the animal kingdom. Shouldn't this be taken as a sign from God that he has raised the intellect of man above the animal instinct? That he has dignified man above the animal? Then the sacrifice of the animal in the Hajj, doesn't it represent also that victory? The victory of man over the animal kingdom? And shouldn't it speak to a spiritual need in man that he should have a spiritual victory over his animal instincts, over his animal drive? Certainly. This is what is so great about the religion. It has natural basis. It has basis in nature. In fact, it is the religion of nature. The religion of fitra. The religion of that is patterned on the excellence of human nature. Patterned on the excellence of human nature. It is not patterned on something that was dreamed up. Nobody fabricated this religion. It is not patterned on something that was dreamed up, a great idea, utopia, that man grew from the top of his head. No, this religion is patterned on the excellence of human nature. Do you want a religion other than that religion, as Allah asked? Do you want a religion other than that religion? No, Allah, I don't want anything but your religion. These people are my witness that I want nothing but your Quran. I want nothing but your Quran. I want nothing but your Sunnah. I want nothing but what you have asked us to come to. I have found nothing better. Yes? Find nothing come anywhere near being compared with what God has revealed. Everything else miserably fail before what God has revealed. That's what I am a witness to. Allah says in the Quran, I am a living witness to that. I give my own personal testimony. Oh, dear beloved Muslim, the animals that are sacrificed, that are named, designated for the sacrifice, is the sheep, goat, ox, or the cow, and camel. Although, if you don't have that, whatever sacrifice is accepted. If it's an animal that is acceptable for sacrifice. But these are the animals that are sacrificed. Sheep, goat, camel, cow. To understand this, you must understand it in the context of Scripture. No way for you to understand that except in the context of Scripture. Would you sacrifice a dog? Why? Because God has not made you a dog. You don't have dog nature. God didn't make you dog nature. Other people call you dog. Your nature is dignified. Look at the nature of the camel. Look how dignified the camel is. Look how cool he walks. Yeah. Look how alert he is. How he moves about and keeps his eyes going in the directions all around him. He watches every side as he moves about. And when he runs, he knows he has to be careful to look straight ahead. When he runs, he puts his head directly straight in the way. So he aims straight at where he's going, so he doesn't falter. Look how wise that animal is in his mannerism. Look how prudent he is. Look how he stores up enough water to get across the desert. He's not stupid. He knows when he go out of the desert, he needs a lot of water. Because he's not going to run across a water hole too often. So he stores up a lot of water to get across the desert. Isn't that an excellent animal for God to associate with the animal in man? You see how God respects us and how others disrespect the human dignity? Now think about the sheep. The sheep is an animal that doesn't like a lot of trouble. The sheep like to be at peace. Look how God is saying, this is your nature. This is your nature. Give that to me. Give that to me. I don't want the dog. You keep the dog. You throw the dog away, you give it back to those who call you dog. And then now look at the goat. The goat. How nice the goat is. Some people say, oh, billy goat, billy goat. Troublemaking billy goat. But look, this billy goat, he wants to learn everything. He has an appetite for great things, for different things. He'll eat the plants. He'll eat your clothes. He'll eat your newspapers. He has a great appetite. Every animal has a great appetite. And God wants your intellect to have a great appetite. Yes. Yes. And look at that cow. People call it old, dumb, sad cow. But look how faithful that cow is. They say faithful old cow. Look how faithful that cow is. Loyal as it can be. They want to run all over and get go out and see the town tonight and carry on. Cows stay right in the pasture. Stay right in the pasture. Yeah. Just as faithful as it can be. That cow has patience. Patience. They just wait all day and all night. Patient and loyalty. Right? If you give that to society, society will take advantage of you. They like a bunch of pacified cows. Don't give that to society, give that to Allah. This is what we need for the great victory on earth. Great victory on earth. It will only come when we give the best of ourselves into service for Allah's pleasure. When we give the best of ourselves into service for Allah's pleasure. And tell the appetite, be dead except for God. Be dead to the world. Isn't that scripture? Die to the world so that you may live. And Allah says in the Quran, Mutu fahya. Die so that you will live. Again, let us look at the Hajj and its great focus and full dimensions of that great spectacle or scene there that takes place once every year. We find that man is coming together. Coming together at one point. From all points on the compass. From all places on earth. Man is converging at one place. One point. Nationalities differing from each other. Languages differing from each other. Customs differing from each other. Coming together at one place. What did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach us about the Mecca that we should remember? He said, wisdom, Mecca is in Arabia. Mecca is in Arabia, where wisdom and knowledge of the original man first started when the planet was found. Let me repeat that. There might be a black Jacobite in here. He said, Mecca is in Arabia, where wisdom and knowledge of the original man first started when the planet was found. No, brother, you got that wrong. We started when the depositation of the moon was. When the moon was deported from the earth. That's when the tribe of Shabar started, brother. We are the original. Well, you got a problem there, haven't you? Follow me into understanding. Now that I'm not following your father, I'm going to follow Prophet Muhammad. No, you're not. Not if you're talking like that, you won't follow Prophet Muhammad. Those who follow Prophet Muhammad, they will follow Imam W.D. Muhammad. Because they know that W.D. Muhammad is a follower of Prophet Muhammad. Coming together of people from different races, different nations, different customs, different languages, tells us too what must be done for man to realize this greatest of hope, greatest of aspirations, a secured society, a safe and secured society, a society of justice and opportunity, respect for the individual. He must together with other nations, with other races, with other languages, with other customs. All has nothing but one custom, Islamic custom. Within Islamic custom, you can have your own custom. Within Islamic culture, you can have your own culture. Doesn't Sudanese culture different from Saudi Arabian culture? But it's all Islamic culture. Doesn't that custom differ from the custom of Saudi Arabian, or from the custom of the Pakistanian, or from the custom of the Muslim in the Philippines or elsewhere? Don't they differ one from another as you go about? But they all are Islamic culture, Islamic custom. God doesn't want us to obliterate, deface ourselves as people. No, he wants us to complement the total with our own individual contribution to the total pattern, not to the total culture. Each of us reflecting the best of our Islam, but in our own individual dignity and individual identity. You see, this is what Allah wants, the different people coming together from all over the world. And they are willing to sacrifice whatever they must sacrifice of their nationalism, of their customs, of their culture, to satisfy what Allah wants for all of us. They put down their arrogance, they submit their pride. And there they sit together as brethren. The Arab and the African, the Indian, the Russian, the Chinese, the Filipino, the Irish, the Mexican, people from all over the world coming together, keeping the best that God say you can keep, but sacrificing that God say you must sacrifice, so that there will be unity and peace on earth, an opportunity for man, for the individual. Isn't that a wonderful sign? Wonderful sign in the heart. And Allah tells us that. Dear beloved Muslim, we have the best. Ours is seen in the universal, timely struggle and hope of man. Ours can be identified in Scripture as the age, the timeless hope of man, as the greatest aspiration of man. Ours can be pointed out to history. Here is it. Here it is. Here it is. Here is the fulfillment. Here is the fulfillment. Allah promised us that He would give us what we hope for. And our religion is a sign, is a living sign and testimony that Allah has given humanity what it asked for. The righteous ask for a sign. The righteous ask for a sign, and they ask for a model community. They ask for an example community. The righteous ask for a community like that is in heaven. Where is that community like that is in heaven? It is in heart. That's where it is. It is in heart. I come from my poor nation, but I'm received on Mount Arafat with those that come from their rich nation. And we all talk together. The scientist at Arafat, I will listen to what he has to say. They are to share their knowledge at Arafat. So I go back to my poor country enriched, to my society that has been less fortunate, academically speaking. I go back with great tools, with great resources that I got from the best of the world at Arafat. Yes, you see how what the rich meaning it holds for us? And Muslims, educated Muslims that is, in the Hajj, in the symbols of the Hajj, they know that Arafat is the most important occasion in the Hajj. Most important. Sacrifices is perhaps next to us, slightly equal with it, but the most important is Arafat. The greatest sacrifice
that man can make, and the greatest talent of man, is not so much the sacrifice as love. Look how the Jews have been able to contain their animal drives. The Jews have been able to contain their animal drives. They have been able to control their animal instincts. And they have been charitable, haven't they? They have been charitable with animal food. They've given animal food to the whole world. But the thing that they haven't been able to do is share the precious secrets of their knowledge with others so that the whole world will come up, will be a learned world, will be a scientific world. Oh, yes. They preach in the synagogue in secret. They keep their knowledge in their circle. And they give the world what they can sacrifice. But the precious knowledge that keeps them on top, they keep that for their own son. Nobody else can get it. The greatest test for man is to be free with knowledge. Be free with knowledge. Don't hoard your knowledge. Don't keep something for yourself and so you have a superiority over other people. Get rid of that desire for superiority over other people. Share the knowledge with all. Look, when you see the haram, the masjid al-haram at Mecca, you see a mosque with an open top. A mosque with an open top. That's a sign of the great aspirations of man in religion. That he wants an open religious society, not a secret religious society. The mosque at Mecca has an open top. And when the imam is preaching there, everybody can hear it. It ain't locked up behind doors. He's preaching out in the open under the sky. Great fulfillment of man's aspiration in religion. Wishing that one day the best of the knowledge that God has revealed will be preached openly so everyone can hear, low and high, rich and poor. Tell me you want another religion, you're crazy. Al-Islam is the religion. It's the best of the Torah, the best of the gospel. Is the best of all that has been revealed. And it is the complete religion. Torah is not complete. Gospel is not complete. And Islam is complete. Quran is complete. Allah says in the Quran, I have completed my favor upon you. No more to be done. It has been perfected and completed. One of the great hopes of man is security, isn't it? Security. But can security come before there is openness? As long as there is deception, secrecy, how can there be security? You can't trust a secret order. It has to be open. The same precious knowledge that I give to my son or to the president or his son must be given to everybody if they want it. That's a just and open society. It can't sit out or do favors to any nation, any race, any nationality, no. Must be equally available to all. That's the kind of justice we see in the heart. That kind of justice will unify humanity. That kind of justice will bring people from all nationalities, from all customs and cultures and walks of life. It will bring them all, scientists, politicians, psychologist, musician, mathematician, dancer. Everybody can come to that because it's open and just and it's for every human being equally. Yes. You want to unify the world? You want peace and security? Then exemplify in our life what is exemplified symbolically in the heart. That's what I told the Muslims at Hajj. I said, we need to take the Hajj here back home. How long are we going to keep coming to Hajj, going through ritual, and not getting the great message that we should take back home? Hajj is a symbolic message. It's a message that's supposed to be lived in our personal lives and in our nations, in our government, in our leadership all over the world.
Do we go there and drink one Zamzam and don't bring no water home?
Dear beloved brothers and sisters, here is another great sign of the heart, the stoning of the heads of the devil. We don't stone his feet, we don't stone his chest, we hit him dead in his head. Another sign telling us that you can't have peace and security in the world for nations and humanity until you have the courage to fight the very head of wickedness in the world. You have to be willing to challenge the very head of wickedness in the world. Don't tap it on his leg, do a stone and hit it on the ankle. That's a coward. That's a chicken. Hit him like you mean it. Hit him to kill him. Hit him in his head. That doesn't mean to physically go out there and start hitting people in the head. No. It means to attack the head of evil. The head of evil is in lies. That's where the head of evil is. The head of evil is not in flesh. The head of evil is in lies. And the greatest lie ever told against man is the Sabbath. That Sabbath that keeps everything for an exclusive people, for a race of people, for a special society, and pass out charity at certain intervals to the rest of the world. Isn't that what Sabbath has meant for the Jews? 6 days to do what they want? 1 day to be nice? Then they have what they call a major Sabbath. A great Sabbath. Great year of the Sabbath. A major jubilee. It comes at the end of 49 weeks, I believe it is, a month. Major jubilee. A year. It goes into different time periods. Seven running itself out. You see? You go from 1 to 7, you get to 7. Then you do 7 again. 7 again, 7 again, until you go through 7 times. Then the 7 run out, right? The 7 run out now. What are you going to do now? When 7 run out, when Sabbath achieved what it set out to achieve, what you going to do then? You should then establish what the object of that Sabbath was. What was the object of your Sabbath? We know different people are different, they have different answers. The hypocritical Jew will say the object of his Sabbath is righteousness and bringing into the world charity and doing good and pleasing God and freeing the slave and helping the... They believe in that too. Yes. Their Sabbath believe in that too. And on a major jubilee, they have to be charitable, give part of the field, part of the harvest to the poor, to the hungry, and to give certain animals, give one spare a little bit, be charitable, right? This is their Sabbath or their harvest, their great harvest, great Sabbath. And to release the ox that they have been plowing, release the slave. The ox and the slave, they belong together. One is just a little bit more domesticated than the other one. They both don't belong together. So they believe in that, don't they? Now, when you throw the stone at Satan, how many stones you take? No, you don't take 7. You throw them 7 at a time. How many you take all together? 49. How long will Muslims take 49 stones and throw with no sense? Throwing 49 stones with no sense. How come the Muslim leadership, the scholars of the Muslim world, don't connect those things with the sense? Did the Lord just intend for us to go and throw stone 7? And it makes us superstitious. It makes us superstitious. It has a tendency to make you superstitious. You take 49 stones and you throw 7 at a time. Doing that without a
understanding make the society superstitious. It wasn't intended to make us superstitious. It was intended to bring understanding into that that was once superstition.
Lebedee Farag, with his experimental society, he really pointed a finger all over the world. What did he tell us in his secret doctrine, secret language? Each Muslim is required to bring in four devils. And by bringing and presenting the four heads at one time, his reward is a trip to the holy city Mecca to see Brother Muhammad, and also a button to wear on the lapel of his coat. You remember that lesson? Each Muslim is required to bring in four devils. Follow Elijah Muhammad. Sometimes the question was asked, because sometimes there was an individual who was innocent enough to just ask on Elijah Muhammad, should he go out and do that? And all Elijah Muhammad said, no, brother. It doesn't mean go out and kill the person, the individual. See, Allah told me, this is what he said now. Not me.